This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. And hey, thanks for listening and taking an important step to better you and your business. You know, the financial numbers of any business tells an important story, but how many owners know how to read their financial statements correctly? Do you know your break-even point for your business? Do you review your cash flow statements monthly? In this episode, Natalie Paris from Three Rivers Bookkeeping shares the importance of the dynamics of a good bookkeeper, your CPA, and your business coach to keep your business on track for success. Kind of like some business financial hacks here. Hey, thanks to our partner Napa for sponsoring this episode. You know, the Napa Expo is coming July 18th through the 21st, 2022. And Napa's dedicated to putting on a safe and valuable in-person experience. We'll be following all appropriate protocols to ensure that all attendees enjoy the experience safely. We hope to see you in Las Vegas from July 18th to the 21st, 2022. Hey, don't forget, check out my YouTube channel, Carm Capriotto, and replay all of our live shows during the week and at any time. Consider them your free webinars. Hey, everybody, a warm welcome to the person sitting over here to my left or your right. It depends on how we're looking in the camera. It's Natalie Paris. Hello, Natalie.
Good morning, or good afternoon in your case, I guess.
Yeah, you just broke the code. You can tell everyone where you're from.
So I am located right now in Talkeetna, Alaska, little teeny tiny town.
Little tiny teeny town. So it's still afternoon for me. It's morning for you out there in Alaska. You're my first Alaskan interview.
Well, I'm honored. I'm honored to be here.
And what's really cool is Natalie does business in all of North America. Can't wait to tell you. She is from Three Rivers Bookkeeping. And I think the industry knows so much. How I just want to fix cars. I don't want to worry about my books. And, you know, it's the year end. You've got to do a tax return. And it's like, eek, I haven't done anything. I've got, you know, cardboard boxes of receipts. I know that my computer system has a lot of data in it, but I've never actually integrated or shared it with, QuickBooks with anyone. So here comes Natalie riding in on, do they have horses in Alaska?
Oh, they've got horses, yaks.
All right, she's coming in riding on a yak saying, hi, I'm here to help. Hey, tell me a great story of how you've helped a shop owner, you know, as a bookkeeper, get them kind of not living in the cardboard box receipt syndrome.
Cardboard box receipt syndrome is it's a tough one. I've definitely worked with several clients where when we start talking, there is no accounting system. There is all the receipts are piled in a receipt box, no organization at all. They don't know if there's any cash flow. They haven't been able to pay the bills or they haven't been able to pay themselves. Debt's racking up, so I can come in, integrate the shop software with QuickBooks so that they all work together, work with a receipt management software so everything is tied up and we can maybe burn that receipt box because everything lives in the cloud. One of the magical things that happens is that when we come in and start doing things on a weekly and monthly basis, tracking transactions, reconciling, then what happens is we can start running certain metrics and tweaking everything within the business. And once that magical thing happens, depending on the timeline of how big that hole was, we can start making sure that that business owner is paying themselves. It's organized. They don't have to stress when it's time to talk to the CPA to do taxes because they also have that money already sitting in the bank account to pay the taxes.
It's a great story. No doubt a huge piece of my audience can relate to that. And if you can't relate to it, well, you can relate to it because if you're very successful, then you've overcome the hurdle that Natalie was talking about. And we're sorry to drag you back into those terrible memories of when you were in disarray. But a lot of people feel they need to hire a bookkeeper that, you know, is live and on site and in the office. And in your particular case, which I find so interesting, which is why you're here, you're virtual.
100% virtual. And it works really, really well in this day and age to be virtual. A lot of the shop softwares you can access in the cloud. QuickBooks Online, obviously cloud-based. Both me and the client can access that software. Receipt management, they can take a picture with their phone. They can forward the email. They can use a scanner. And then I handle all of that from there. I mean, as you know, I've got clients from all the way from south of Florida to California up to Fairbanks. So,
yeah, and one of your clients, Ollie Gelfand from German Car Depot, Hollywood, Florida. I mean, I don't think you can get much further south than, between Alaska and there. How many thousands and thousands of miles could that be? You know, maybe 4,000? I don't know.
4,000, 4,500. I mean, it's quite a ways.
It's amazing how we are doing business virtually. And if you stop and think about the 20 group meetings and the training that we're doing, who wouldn't think that you could get a virtual bookkeeper? I mean, it's just fascinating. That's why you're here. And I also know that you work with some pretty important coaches. As you know, and I explain to me a little bit of the dynamic. There's a CPA involved in most businesses. There's a business coach. Now there's a virtual bookkeeper. How does it all work together?
That's kind of where the magic happens, is when all three of us come together, because there's kind of this running joke that if you want to know what's really happening in the business, go ask the accountant, because it never fails. It always ends up in the finances. So having the bookkeeper to get everything organized, ready for tax time, ready for month end, preparing those financial reports, pass it off to the CPA for taxes, but then having that conversation with the business owner that I have on a monthly basis on the financial side of things, we can start to uncover, are there some things in your culture or your processes and procedures that are affecting the financials and affecting your bottom line? And that's where the business coach comes in and can really help them develop those. Is it an employee problem? Do we have a culture problem? And so when the coach can help them with that, I can make sure that they're focusing on it. And in the end, they end up with great financial reports and they're making more money.
So a lot of shop management systems, Natalie, they have, you know, they've got a lot of measures that they can show. But do you step in at all and do any kind of KPI measures?
I do. So I have a handful that I track every single month just to see where we are and where they should be within the shop.
And where they should be, is that basically set by you, set by the coach, set by the owner?
I usually just go off of industry standards. You know, what are those benchmarks for that industry, and the size of the shop is kind of how I pull those numbers. And then if the coach has something that they want a little bit different, tracked a little differently, we can implement that and tweak it to what their needs are.
A couple of fascinating things about Natalie that I was really kind of moved when I had chatted with her first. She was in outside sales. Very interesting resume and even the things that she volunteers with. But give us a quick 30 seconds on being an outside salesperson for Napa.
You know, that was an interesting experience. It was really my first experience in sales and having to develop those relationships with all those shops in the area. And by the end of my stint there at Napa, it was great to be able to have those relationships and build those relationships with those shops. And I mean, eventually, let's be honest, one of those shops kind of stole me away to be their service manager. So it was a great experience.
And so you can sit virtually across the table with a client and feel their pain, because you kind of, you may not have owned the business, but you were involved deep enough as a service advisor and then an individual who traveled and saw so many shop owners on a daily basis. And you've got some connectivity, if you will, some scar tissue.
Seen the good, the bad, and the ugly from many different shops.
Yeah, and so true. You're also a certified QuickBooks advisor, which is really cool, because I guess that really helps cement what you do. Natalie brought some really cool hacks, financial health hacks, to the show, which is, I think, are going to be great. Let's start out with the first one about know your break even.
we all know that if the shop is spending more money than they're bringing in, they're eventually going to run out of, run out of cash, go out of business. So that's where calculating the break-even point can be really crucial for the business. And on a very high level, the break-even point is you have your expenses and you're bringing in enough money to cover all of those expenses and all those costs. So you're not in the red. You're not below and you're not above. You're just breaking even right there. So some expenses to think about that go through a shop are fixed expenses, rent, mortgage. You've got variable expenses, which could be your electricity, parts costs, labor costs. Those kind of vary, but they do have a similar trend. And then you have things like paying the owner, if there's any debts along those lines. Those are also expenses. So for a shop to say, let's say they have $50,000 a month in expenses, all the costs that they have, buying parts, paying the bills, paying the owner, payroll, $50,000. We now know that they need to bring in $50,000 in revenue to hit that $0 mark. And because of industry standards, about 50-50, we're talking about $25,000 in parts and $25,000 in labor income. So that's kind of just the high level portion of getting to the break-even point.
Someone may sit on the sidelines here and saying, wow, she's including, where do you put the labor? Is it in cost of goods? Why should labor and or parts be inside the expenses? I mean, here nor there. Your suggestion is $50,000 in costs. You need $50,000 in sales just to break even. And to me, break even, I remember using these formulas myself in business, and I would always tell my people, that's break even. That means we don't make any money. We cannot sustain the business at zero. So I used to play with another formula that says that if we wanted to make this kind of net operating income for the month, we wanted to make 10%, here's the number. And so we would jump that number a little higher so that we weren't satisfied with just break even. But it's a great exercise, especially if, like you said a few minutes ago, if you can't pay the bills, you haven't cashed a paycheck, at least start with break even.
Start somewhere so that you're at least at that $0 mark. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So making a profit on parts and labor, let's talk about that.
So now that we've talked a little bit about what it takes to break even or even hit that 10% mark above break even, you need to know if you're making a profit on what you're selling. So most shops have two primary sources of income. There's parts and there's labor. I know there's tires, there's sublet, there are other things that shops track, but boiling it all down to two makes it pretty simple. So those two would be parts and labor. So for example, if you're selling those $25,000 in parts that you need, the parts income to make money, then your parts cost should really be about $12,500. And that gives you that 50% markup rate for your parts. And then moving on to labor, that number should really probably be around 70%. So if you're hitting that $25,000 labor income mark, you really should only be spending about $7,500 a month on your technicians' labor cost. And so then you at least know you're making some profit on those two major metrics that you're selling.
If a client of yours did not have a business coach, would you offer them advice on how to improve parts margins?
I would absolutely give them that advice. Say, hey, we're here. This is where your shop is. This is where it should be. And we can talk about some high level things. If it's really dirty, nasty situation, I'll start reaching out to those coaches that I know in my network and say, hey, maybe we need to start bringing in someone to kind of give you that more accountability on getting some things done. So,
can you see clients that you have that just aren't coachable?
I've had a couple, and it's challenging to make those changes, but we kind of just have to work with what we've got. And sometimes I've had to say the same thing over and over and over for 8 or 9 months before they finally have that light bulb and we can start making some changes, but it can be challenging. Absolutely.
The person has to be ready, absolutely ready. So do you talk parts matrices, labor matrices, multiple labor rates? Obviously, you have been schooled on that, and probably many of your successful clients do this. So you can take, you know, what works for someone else and share it with some another client?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the beauty of focusing in on one industry is you start seeing all of these trends that, you know, are fairly standard across the shop, you know, no matter what size they are, whether they're big, small, medium, you can start looking to see, are those metrics right? Are they on? Are they off? And making those changes and suggestions as needed.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Natalie explains from her perspective what the number one killer of any business is. Keep listening to find out. Hey, it's Carm here, talking to you about what the Napa Auto Care Center program can do for your business. Now, you probably already know the Napa brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that 95% of consumers recognize Napa and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a Pro Image upgrade and take advantage of that? Pro Image is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the Napa colors and distinctive Napa signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a Pro Image upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and Napa are partners. Most importantly, Pro Image really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped Napa Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a Pro Image project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. Pro Image upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A Pro Image interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a Pro Image exterior and interior upgrade could look like by visiting the Napa Auto Care member site and clicking on the Napa Pro Image link under the Napa Pro Image tab. Or contact your local Napa Auto Parts store. Your servicing Napa store can tell you more about Pro Image, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Excellent. You just said the word trends. What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
The shops that I work with are actually all on an uptrend. They're doing really well. They're also all working with coaches. So they have that power team of CPA, bookkeeper, shop coach that can really get in the fine tune and fine tune things. They've got the cash flow, the cash funds to take care of that dip that I think we all saw about a little over a year ago when everything shut down. But overall, we're all kind of moving up. Everybody's seeing trends that are moving in the right direction.
Anybody ever say, Natalie, I mean, there's got to be a bottom here. They're so successful. When's it going to slow down, or when's it just going to stop for a couple of weeks, or, you know, back to school? Guys are saying that the back to school slowdown hasn't even hit yet.
You know, we don't really try to think about those things. I mean, we know that there's those seasonal dips, but we just kind of put that into the plan and work with it as it is. You know, can we improve productivity to kind of maybe push past that or implement a marketing plan? Which in that case, I'm handing them off to their marketing pro to help them develop that because I'm no marketer.
Got it. Perfect. Well, that's exactly the kind of advisor that you should be. Of course, what you're good at, you do, and what you don't, you get someone else to come in. Cash flow, so important in a business. Oh my, I mean, it's truly the lifeblood. You know that.
It's truly the lifeblood. It's the number one killer of, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. It's the number one killer of any business across America. So knowing the break-even point and knowing that you're profitable and then looking at that cash flow is really, really key. I've been asked so many different times, like, what's happening with my cash? Where's all the money going? Why doesn't all of this live on the profit and loss report? It should all just live on one report. And we could go in a whole nother discussion about reading and understanding financial statements, but that's for another day. So, but understanding what the cash flow is, most accounting softwares actually have a report, and it's called the Statement of Cash Flows. And what it does is it takes all those transactions that live on the profit and loss report and all of those transactions that live on the balance sheet and brings them together and shows you what's coming in and what's going out as far as cash. And so reviewing that on a monthly basis is really, really key. And there can be some nuances in that little report, but I think there's one line. I tell everybody, if you only understand one line of this entire report, it's the line at the bottom that says the net change in cash at the end of the period. If it's positive, you're good. If it's negative, we got some things to talk about. We got some things to figure out. Because if it's negative, that means that the business is spending more cash than it's bringing in. And keep that trend up leads to a shuttered business.
And when an owner gets a chance to see if they were in a negative cash position and they see where it went, they'd be the first one to say, oh, yeah. Yeah, we did buy that scan tool. And we did do this, and we did do that. And you sometimes forget, but you can't run a business from your checkbook balance. Just because you have money doesn't mean that you can spend it, because you know so much of it's allocated. Especially if you're only making 5 to 8% net, you know, think about 5 cents of every dollar needs to, you know, it should be yours, and it should be yours to be for the profits and grow the business. Do you do anything with profit first strategy at all?
I do like profit first. I'm not a certified advisor at all, but I do like the thought of profit first and how it, you basically set up all those different bank accounts and put everything in its own little bank account, which is really, really easy to understand for, you know, people who aren't weird numbers people like myself. You know, they know the money over here goes to this, the money over here goes to this, and then, you know, this is what I, you know, pay myself, that goes in that bank account. It's a streamlined process, and I really like how it's set up, how Mike Michalowicz has set it up.
One of the things that I absolutely love about Profit First is that, if you will, the main account, let's call it a general fund, after you've moved all your money into safe havens, the tax man, your profitability, you've got this general account. And if you can't pay all your bills out of that general account, that means you have a problem. And you shouldn't have to be an MBA to realize that a review of your expenses, a review of your margins, a review of your sales are all in order, and not wait for, you know, 12 months to go by before you start taking a serious look at the fact that you can't pay your bills. And I guess having a bookkeeper, an individual like you working with the business, gets at least a 30-day, you know, bell or alarm going off to review this stuff, and not 6-7 months in and worrying about it. And we're just taking in work to pay the bills. We're just trying to find cash in order to survive so that I can cover payroll next week. It's just the wrong way to run a business.
There's a better way to run the business than just taking in anything, the bottom of the barrel clients that I'm sure we've all had to hang out with from time to time.
So we talked about, we obviously talked about cash flow, but what about, what's your disciplines for a cash reserve?
So I like the thought of a cash reserve, because it doesn't matter who you are, how great the business runs, equipment breaks, sales dip, we might see a pandemic and things might have to shut down for a couple weeks. Or you might need to hire another tech or another service advisor. You never know, which is going to really, you know, put a hard, you know, impact on that cash. So I like to have everybody have at least 3 months of operating expenses in a separate bank account. If you can get it into a bank account that you don't have easy access to, even better. If you can get it up to 6 months, that's even more ideal. The reason I say 3 months of total operating expenses is it's rare that sales completely stop for 3 months straight. But if they did, the shop would survive for 3 months without a single sale coming in. You know, obviously there would be other things that would dip in expenses. You wouldn't be buying parts. You wouldn't really probably be paying your techs to do work because there wouldn't be cars. But if sales do dip, that 3 month operating expense is really going to last longer than 3 months and give you that time to figure out what's going on and implement those changes to get back to where everything was rocking and rolling.
You make such a great point. Who would have thought we would have had a pandemic? And no matter what kind of, you know, payroll assistance we had, no matter what paperwork you had to go through, how about the devastating fires that are going on in Nevada, California? What about the recent hurricane Ida that came through and flooded and destroyed businesses and infrastructure? I mean, there are going to be some businesses that are not going to be up and running for a month or two, or your magic number, three. And for us to say, this will never happen to me, just needs to read the headlines today in the paper, just today in the paper. So help me understand, someone's listening and says, well, it's really a cool idea. I really think I should build a reserve fund. What should I do? Build the profit first concept, open up a special bank account. And would I take the cash incomes from today and put like 2% of it into this fund until I get into a 3 month reserve, and then I stop and leave it there?
You can stop and leave it there. I mean, obviously, as the business, I mean, really, the goal is to have the business grow and be as productive and profitable as possible. So as the business grows, we're going to need to review that savings account and make changes and adjustments. Chances are that, you know, that number is going to need to increase. So usually we can keep it at a consistent amount, even if it is 3%, then that's great. Or once we hit that three-month mark, you can start another savings account for, okay, well, the lifts are going to start going down. We need to get new lifts. We need to get, you know, new tools. So you can open up another savings account and start allocating for new stuff so you don't have to dip into the reserves.
Yeah, you should have an equipment account anyway because of that, the eventual stuff, everything wears out. We know we're in the business of fixing vehicles that wear out and need that stuff. Early warning signs of a business having some issues?
A lot of credit card use. I'd say that's a big one. Instead of using a checking account, you've got high credit card balances that just kind of keep going up and up and up. Car counts are going down. You don't really know why. Or techs aren't really producing to the level that you know that they could. So, and those aren't necessarily financial related, but they all eventually, they're like culture business related, but they all kind of end up tying into the finances.
As a bookkeeper / accountant, you hear enough, see enough, where your intuition clicks in. And you probably mentioned to an owner, well, it looks like you may need to review your processes or your systems. Does it ever get to the point where you step over that boundary that maybe a coach would be working on?
I do. So, you know, within my own company, we try to just keep processes and procedures really tight, especially dealing with finances and sensitive information. So talking with a client as far as reviewing processes and controls, I just had a client actually who had to fire a longtime employee because of cash theft. And it was a process problem. It was an internal control process problem. They accepted cash over here. This person handled all the cash, and then it would be handed off to me, and there was no middle person to kind of buffer what's going on. And we came to terms that this has probably been happening for years. And so now they're starting to develop those processes. And, you know, we try to keep up on those as much as possible. If we notice something like, hey, this person does too much over here, how can we implement that middle person to kind of mitigate that issue?
That's just great advice. Any stories that you can tell us, taking over a client, and you see a lot of this stuff happening that you could share with us?
Bad internal controls or bad password management, bad security, having employees that have access to, I would say probably a little bit too much, master usernames and passwords for bank accounts. I think, you know, the owner should really be the only one who has access to that. And then, because I always make them create another username and password for me that's view only. And if there's a manager that needs to review things in the bank account, keeping things like that up and running, And then not having good passwords and good security measures in the business are pretty big.
You mean your first name, 123, is not acceptable?
Across everything that you use, no. That's not really a good way to do it.
Natalie123, I bet you I could break into your password.
Absolutely. You could break through everything.
Oh, my. 0000. That's just incredible advice. Well, look, what made you move up to Alaska?
That's a great question. So it was 4 years ago that I decided I was ready to leave Colorado. I don't know if anybody who's been in Colorado recently, the population is growing and booming and thriving down there, which is great. But I had lived in Colorado. We moved there when I was 12 years old. I had lived all over the state, and I was at a point in life where I was like, well, I could move. I could go somewhere else, see somewhere else, check somewhere else for a little bit, or I could stay here, which probably means I'll end up getting into a relationship, another relationship, and get sucked in. Who knows? Kids, marriage, who knows? So I just decided that I was looking at places like Montana, Washington, Oregon, and then I had friends that lived in Talkeetna. So I showed up on vacation, and let's be honest, it was all over from there. 8 weeks later, I packed up my car. Everything that I owned was in or on my vehicle, and I've been up here ever since, and it's been a great move for me.
How long was the drive from Colorado to Talkeetna?
It took us 4 days. So we left from Western Colorado, which is where my parents were living at the time, drove up to Yellowstone in a day. Then from Bozeman, Montana, we did a 36-hour stretch from Bozeman, Montana to Whitehorse, Canada. I mean, that was a long haul. And then did we do it in 3 days? We did it in 3 days. And then from Whitehorse, we just drove straight to Talkeetna, which I think was a 16-hour day.
Every once in a while, I have to get the map out. I remember spending some time in British Columbia and to see how far away Alaska still is from that area of Canada. You just got to get a map out and realize that we have a very small world now with technology, but it is so big. And I would love to see Alaska someday. And the other thing I find fascinating with you, and let's end with this, you're a volunteer firefighter?
I am. So 2 years, just a little over 2 years ago, I decided to join our local fire department, and we are a volunteer fire department. So we just kind of, if a call goes out now, you know, I could jump in the car and go respond to that vehicle. But I think one of my chief's favorite story is 2 years ago, we were having a really bad fire year. And the first call I ever responded to was the biggest wildfire we had up here in a long time. And he's like, you just jumped in and started helping out with that wildfire. And it's been all over from there. So it's a great experience to, you know, save buildings from fire. We also deal with car accidents and pulling people out of wreckages, and also going in the backcountry and helping lost people get found. So it's a great experience.
Natalie Paris, accountant, Three Rivers Bookkeeping, who does business here with shops all over North America. Keep them on the straight and narrow as it comes to doing their books. Hey, it was great having you on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a great time.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.